Fanthropology is the name of the track. If you're a bebop fan, you'll know that that was written by Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie from the good old days of bebop. It's taken off bebop bassoon. Yep, bassoon, not an instrument that you would associate with the world of jazz, but Daniel Smith is the man that has brought it to us, our studios here, has brought it to our island for the Mananian Festival, and a welcome, sir.
Thank you, then.
You were up early this morning.
Excuse me?
You were up early this morning.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so at 5 o'clock in London, but because we wait for an alarm at 5 o'clock, you don't sleep. So I got about 1 hour of sleep.
Oh, dear. You'll get more sleep tonight. Bebop bassoon. Come on. One has to ask the question, why are we playing bassoon jazz? Why the instrument bassoon? It's not the sort of the most well-known instrument.
I've gone through this before with other interviewers. The answer would be, why not? No, it's true. It's true. You know, before I got into jazz, I made a lot of classical recordings and crossover, most of them in this country, actually. And I started to delve further and further away from the traditional concerti and the recital stuff, and I got into ragtime and crossover and da-da-da. And eventually, I almost went back to my own roots, because when I was young, I played saxophone and clarinet and flute and all that. And I said, let's do the jazz thing. And there was a composer here named Steve Gray who wrote a jazz suite for me. I did it with the Welsh Chamber Orchestra several years ago, and there was spots to improvise in it. So I said, you know, if I'm going to do it right, I might as well start to really get into the idiom. However, having said that, anybody who plays a saxophone and knows of a bassoon will realize whatever you hear on the bassoon executed, whether it's a melody or the solo, is literally several times harder to execute than on a saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bassoon.
It's a bassoon.
Yeah.
Is there classical music being written for the bassoon?
Still. Oh, yeah. Contemporary?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's composers around the world, and there's very fine bassoon players who perform and record such pieces. But I think, getting back to what I'm doing, this is not a self-serving comment. I'm just saying it's very interesting to take that instrument, as you started out by saying, and push it into areas where you don't think a bassoon's supposed to be doing things.
That's it, yeah. So we've got the world of jazz. The CD that you've got here, Bebop Bassoon, it's basically playing homage to the greats of jazz. Horace Silver, great piano player. Thelonious Monk, again a piano player. Ellington, band leader, piano player. But Benny Golson, Killer Joe, you know, he's a good sax player, his job. And Miles Davis, all blue. John Coltrane, Sonny Rollins, another tenor sax player.
I love the music of Sonny Rollins.
But you must like the music of the tenor sax and see how you can adapt it for the bassoon.
You hit upon something very interesting. I did an article for this magazine called Music Teacher here in this country. I did an article about 4 years ago about how to play jazz on a bassoon. And I started to talk about, where do you get a role model from? If you're playing trumpet, you start to think of Dizzy Gillespie, Louis Armstrong, whoever, anybody. Saxophone, you got a million people on tenor sax, alto sax, and trombone, whatever, but who do you pick on a bassoon? So you have to sort of think, what could be the most related thing? And then you think of the sound of a tenor sax, and that's about as close as you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, one of my idols was, when I was younger, in fact, I studied saxophone with the same teacher who taught Stan Getz, and a great, great, great talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into people like Sonny Rollins and Charlie Parker and this one, that one. And then you start to pull ideas from those other instruments onto the bassoon. But there is no real role model. So you're not only learning how to play jazz, which is unheard of almost on the bassoon, but you're also inventing a style at the same time.
But are you listening to the young sax players at present? Because the names I mentioned there are sort of quite old, established people. Some of this music is for the 40s. Sonny Rollins, Doxy, I suppose, was, what, 1960? Blue Monk
yeah.
must have been, what, mid-50s or something like that. This is... I'm not going to use the word.
It's great music.
It's great music. I'm not taking that away. But are you still listening to today's?
No. No, be perfectly honest.
You're going back to the masters.
Actually, one of the things is that, it's like, well, also when I play classical, I realized years ago that, for better or worse, the way I'm not talking jazz, I'm talking classical. When I do a concerto or a recital, I'm doing it the way it feels right to me. So I'm producing what I would like to believe is my own particular sound and style and vibrato and use of whatever. And I do the same in jazz. Because I guess when I was a kid, I used to go in New York City to Birdland. I had a fake draft card. I used to get in when I was underage.
Lucky boy.
But I used to go there, you know, and I'd sit by the bandstand every night. So I kind of written down my subconscious. I kind of remember all these great musicians I heard when I was much younger. And I was a big jazz fan then. And then years went by, and I gravitate towards a bassoon and so forth. And so today I just... I guess I'm plucking stuff from... I'm not sure I'm plucking it from.
It's coming from somewhere, thank goodness it's coming there. Somebody, I was reading a review of the London Evening Standard, makes this difficult instrument dance like Jerry Mulligan's baritone sax. You can't get a better critique than that, can you?
No, it's a nice one, and sometimes these comments come out of the blue because you can't... it's funny, you're going to laugh. I was being stalked some years ago by somebody who didn't like me. Not a person I know, just somebody who on the internet got a hold of my name and just was an amateur bassoon player and he was saying nasty things about me. And he said, I know that you pay for all your reviews. He actually said that. And I'm going to send this email to all the famous bassoon players all over the world saying that Daniel Smith pays for his reviews. And I thought... That is so stupid, because anybody knows you can't buy a review. A person writes a comment for better or worse about you, and that's it. So getting back to what you just said, yeah, if somebody says something nice like that, it's wonderful. I mean, but again, that's their perception. They think it sounds like a baritone sax. Again, I'm just doing what I do. I don't know what it sounds like.
Okay, the stage of the Erin Arts Centre tonight is going to be resounding with the sound of jazz. Bassoon, what's the backing group? Piano, bass, drums?
Piano, bass, and drums. And the bassoon must be amplified. Because if you're playing a concerto or giving a recital, it's acoustic bassoon. It's the natural bassoon. But if you were trying to do that with a drum playing and, you know, like that in a jazz setting, you'd be drowned out in 1 second. So I have a special microphone built into the crook or the vocal. For those who are not musicians, that's a little curvy thing at the top, the metallic piece that the readers put on. And that has a little microphone which goes to a preamp, and then the preamp has another cord that goes to an amplifier. In this case tonight, I think it's going to go to the house microphone system, and then, boom, you're heard, and you could drown out an orchestra. By the way, the Robert Farnon, who just passed away several weeks ago, many of your listeners will know the name, and he wrote and dedicated a bassoon concerto with me just before he passed away. I was visiting him in Guernsey. We were discussing it, and then the poor man, he just died in his sleep. It just was unforeseen. And this piece will be for solo bassoon amplified with a full symphony orchestra, a big band within the symphony, and a rhythm section included, an spots to improvise.
Yeah.
And again, the idea being that he was kind of taken aback when he realized that, yes, the bassoon can be amplified. So it's, oh my God, it makes everything much easier. When he learned that. So hopefully our piece will be premiered in about a year. But again, with 100 instruments around you, if you were playing an acoustical bassoon, you just won't be heard.
What's it like with an orchestra like that behind you, a 100-piece orchestra? That must be sort of spine-tingling up there.
Well, not even 100 pieces. When I came over about 12 years ago and I started doing the Vivaldi bassoon concertos with the English Chamber Orchestra, and then we finished off with the Zagreb Chamber Orchestra, I was like awestruck because those musicians were unbelievable, the English Chamber Orchestra, that is. And at the first rehearsal, they do not look at music. They do not rehearse. It's a matter of principle or pride. And I knew that the music had never been seen by any of them. And they put down the music, and the conductor gave the downbeat, and it sounded like a finished recording right on the spot. And I'm sitting there in my chair saying, oh, my God, what am I doing here? This is, like, awesome. But, yeah, that's what happened. It's both in jazz, too, by the way. If you have really great jazz players around you, it's like gives you a big jolt.
Yeah. Do you ever play with a big band, a jazz big band?
Yeah, actually, I did. Back in New York it's funny you asked that, about 4 weeks ago, a composer in New York named David O'Rourke, who also runs a youth jazz band made up of college players and some high school players that are very good, and he invited me to be a guest artist, and I sat in with this big band and did four solos with him.
Okay. The American music scene is very much school-orientated. You just mentioned about high school bands and things like this. This is where they get their musicians from, isn't it, in America?
Yeah, nowadays. But, yeah. Of course, I know you're a jazz buff and I'm a jazz fan. You know, your history, years ago, of course, is not the way jazz was learned. It was,
oh, no. But nowadays. But this is for the future.
Yeah, they come out. But what's unfortunate about it, I was just talking about this to I have a new manager in the United States now, and we were talking about it. He says every day, literally, of the week, he's flooded with phone calls from recent graduates of Berkeley and all the other big conservatories who are looking for management. They all are talented. They all play good. But that's not what it's all about anymore. It's all about name recognition, publicity, you know, all the things that will sell.
Yeah, marketing.
Marketing, exactly. And But the other thing, having said that, is that I wonder if there are that many players who really can play like, you know, like Vince, I mentioned to you, Stan Getz before, a unique sound, an individual sound, Sonny Rollins.
I suppose this is the trouble, isn't it? Because if you were listening to jazz, you knew the sound of Ben Webster, nice and breathy. Yeah. You knew Coleman Hawkins had an edge to him. Getz was kind of romantic. Lester Young was so romantic, it was unbelievable, his music as well. But I suppose they're probably all starting to sound the same.
Yes, I was headed in that direction. I mean, in this country too, I sometimes hear, and I can't tell one from the other after a while. It's so many people sound alike. But then you hear just one, as you said, one person just starts to play, like for instance, Clifford Brown on trumpet, who I think was the greatest jazz trumpet player ever, bar none. You hear him play, it's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Nobody plays like that.
And such a short life as well.
Yeah.
There's sort of some of the tracks he made with Max Roach on drums. Sort of, it's memory music, isn't it? It's stuff that you would treasure. We were talking a little while ago to my previous guest about, I've got a good record collection, and I was saying to my wife about, well, if we ever have to get rid of the record collection, I shall have to keep the Charlie Mingus albums. Oh, I shall have to keep the Billie Holiday albums.
I just heard in New York City, my wife and I, we live in Brooklyn, New York. We have a place in London and a place in Brooklyn. I told you that. But your audience doesn't know that, of course. Anyway, we're right across the street from what's called the Brooklyn Conservatory of Music. Mm-hmm. And they have a jazz series. And guess who we saw 5 or 6 weeks ago before I came over here?
The Mingus.
Charlie Mingus with Sue Mingus, who came out. The last or the fourth and last wife.
Yeah.
Introduced them. And and then right after that, I started to read a bunch of books about Charlie Mingus.
Tonight at Noon is still the best book, but we won't go into that one. The music of Mingus takes me to Dolphy. And didn't Eric Dolphy play bassoon at some time?
No, Eric Dolphy played bass clarinet.
Bass clarinet, and
alto sax. Yeah. The one who played bassoon was actually, hold on a second, let me gather my thoughts. Illinois Jacquet.
Did he really? Because he was brought up in the big band.
Yeah, and let me see if I get my story right here. I'm assuming I'm right, I think it's Illinois Jacquet. And he played it, and he studied with a guy named Manny Zegler, who was the first bassoonist of the New York Philharmonic. So he actually studied it. And then he came to London. It's a very famous story that I know about. You wouldn't know about it. He came to play at Ronnie Scott's. And these were the days when the bassoon was not, you couldn't amplify it because it didn't have the technology. So he put down the sax after doing the piece, and he picked up the bassoon to play a piece, and nobody could hear him. So the audience lost interest. Everybody started to chat and talk, and all of a sudden the sound of the people drowning out everything. And he got so angry, he slammed off the stage, he went storming off the stage. He was insulted. Nobody could hear him, but nobody could hear him.
That's right, yeah. Great sounds. Illinois Jacquet. Yeah, another one of the great tenor sax players. Daniel Smith has been my guest in the studio. Thank you for coming in. Enjoy your sounds tonight on the stage. Erin Artsetter of the Millennium Festival. Daniel Smith.